Our first reading is from chapter 8 of the book of Proverbs. This text focuses on the meaning and role of wisdom. Wisdom is personified as female, and this woman wisdom seems to represent God's desire to continue to delight in, interact with, and renew God's creation. Wisdom is not inaccessible, but calls out to all people, offering humanity access to the living God. A reading from the book of Proverbs. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up. At the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When he established the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 8. Printed in your bulletins. We'll read it responsively. I'll read the odd-numbered verses and congregation the even. O Lord, our governor, how exalted is your name in all the world.
Out of the mouths of infants and children, your majesty is praised above the heavens.
You have set up a stronghold against your adversaries to quell the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in their courses. What is man that you should be mindful of him? The son of man that you should seek him out? You have made him but little lower than the angels. You adorn him with glory and honor. You give him mastery over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, even the wild beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever walks in the paths of the sea.
O Lord, our governor, how exalted is your name in all the world.
The epistle is from chapter 5 of Romans. In just 5 verses, this reading neatly illustrates the Trinity, but it is much more. It summarizes the life of those who are made right with God through faith. Life is a mix of peace, hope, suffering, and love. A reading from the book of Romans. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Wonderful scriptures today. So my question for you is, how do you understand the Trinity? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Spirit. The concept of the Trinity is a difficult one, a fact acknowledged by Jesus in today's gospel reading. And if you ever want to get your mind truly muddled, try researching a lot of the commentaries on the Trinity. The joke in seminary was always that the newest priest got to preach on the Trinity because no one understood it, so send them out there and let them get their feet wet. But the concept of Trinity is very important in our belief system. It was popularized by St. Thomas a Becket centuries ago, and the Feast of the Trinity became so important that until recently, Anglicans numbered the long summer Sundays as Sundays after Trinity. And as you know, we now number them Sundays after Pentecost. But Trinity Sunday is the only one in the entire lectionary that is a day devoted to a doctrine. And frankly, for most people, myself included, trying to understand the doctrine of the Trinity is a challenge. But I think it's a challenge that deepens our spirit. I think it's a challenge that deepens our path. The Trinity is one of the most fascinating aspects of Christian theology, but it is also one of the most controversial. It is a mystery to us because it is a reality that is above our human ability to understand. We can begin to grasp it on our own, but we really must discover it through worship, symbol, and faith. The Trinity is the belief that God is one in essence, but distinct in person. In other words, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are somehow distinct from one another, yet at the same time, they are completely united in essence, will, and task. Yes, the Trinity is a mystery, but this does not mean it's a riddle. Instead, the Trinity is a reality above our human comprehension. It's above our ability to grasp intellectually because there is more to it than intellectual experience. Ultimately, we know the Trinity through worship and through our personal experience and through faith. In order to understand it, we must live in the light of its implications for our humanity. The relationship that exists among the three divine persons suggests to us that we can know God through relationship, not only in God's relationship to us, but to the entire created world, God's relationship to God's creation. I have likened the Trinity to spiritual math, and those of you who know me know that math was not my strongest suit. I did not enjoy math. But in this instance, I think it fits. It's God's math. In Christianity's math, 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1. One God. In the creed we will recite today, we affirm that we believe in one God, and then we go on to talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In previous centuries on this day, the Church recited the long and complicated Creed of Saint Athanasius. In Athanasius' version of the creed, it speaks of Father incomprehensible, Son incomprehensible, Holy Ghost incomprehensible. George Bernard Shaw was heard to mutter, "The whole thing is incomprehensible." And I have to agree, it does feel incomprehensible. It is a core mystery of our faith. So let's address it as a math equation, the basic math of the Trinity, then add God's people, the relationship, and see if it doesn't get clearer. There was once a teacher who was teaching first grade in a large elementary school. One morning, all the teachers were called to the staff room for an emergency meeting, and they hurried over, leaving their classes unsupervised. All the teachers were worried, but none more so than this particular teacher, because her class was especially mischievous and unruly, and they were only first graders. So when she got to the staff room, she decided to listen in and find out what was going on in her classroom. And just as she expected, when she turned on the intercom, her room was chaos. Children were yelling, jumping, and throwing things, but one little voice stood out above the others. The teacher recognized the voice, and she picked up the intercom and in her sternest voice said, "Elizabeth, sit down." Immediately the room fell silent. After a few seconds, a small, humble voice answered meekly, "Yes, God." Isn't that how it feels sometimes? Because we are like Elizabeth in the classroom. We know there is more we need to learn about our Christian journey. And yet, in our scripture reading today, Jesus tells us that we aren't ready to hear it. That learning our path will come in time and discernment through the Holy Spirit. So here we are confronted by mystery beyond comprehension. We don't understand the math of the Trinity or the spirit of unconditional love and adoption in these stories, but they feel true. We understand it emotionally, viscerally. We can feel the unity of the Trinity as well as ourselves being a part of that unity. God's math gives us insight and knowing through the Holy Spirit. Theologian Marcus Borg famously said, "It doesn't have to be fact to be true." Does that mean we can find truth in religious mystery as well as science? Oh yes, I believe it does. I believe religious truth is there in all the mystery. Perhaps the missing factor in our mathematical equation is love. Let's try it. 1 + 1 + 1 = God, our God of love. Love can explain the mystery. Love can make the math work. Our triune God is a God motivated by love for the people of the world. A God filled with love for the world would send his only Son to redeem all the people of the world. A God filled with love would adopt all peoples and make them his beloved children and heirs. Indeed, today's reading in Romans tells us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us, it is that love, God's love, that makes it work. In God's new math, it is all about the power of one and the power of love. One God, one Son, one Spirit, one people, one redemption, one baptism, one calling to live God's love in our world. And through the power of one, a unity is created. We are united into a body, a communion, a family that is the direct heir and beloved of our God. We are all, each of us, God's beloved child. 1 + 1 + 1 = God, one God. plus love. And we are part of that one. Its love dwells in us, and we embody it. And I think that reality causes us to understand when Lady Wisdom in our opening scriptures gleefully worshiped and appreciated God's creation. That's what we're called to do, is through the intervention of Spirit and Wisdom, gleefully, faithfully worship and live out God's calling for us. Each of us in one baptism has been born from above so that we may witness God's love and share it in our world. We too have been called to give our lives, imperfect as they are, and in that act of sheer love and obedience, we have been made worthy to be God's children and presence in this world. As children of the Most High God, we, each of us, are commissioned to be Christ's light in our world, commissioned to take out into the world what we preach and pray each Sunday in our worship. My prayer for each of you today is that you hear and live into your call. Amen.